Hey everybody, Doc Brian here, and welcome to Doc Talks. We talk about people's troubles, trials, tribulations, and hopefully triumphs in life. At the inception of Doc Talks a few years ago, we had a sub-podcast that was on Patreon called Doc Talks DX, which is Doc Talks Diagnosis. DX is the shorthand form of diagnosis, the same way that RX is the shorthand for prescription. And so we had Doc Talks DX where we talked specifically about a diagnosis. June is National PTSD or Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder Awareness Month. And so today I found that it might be important for us to talk about what PTSD is or what it is not. And so when PTSD was coming about, it was initially called shell shock or war neurosis. And that's where soldiers and military leaders came back from war, and all of a sudden they started having flashbacks. They were just sitting around watching TV, and they would be thrown into this flashback of a traumatic event that took place. Or they would hear, for instance, a car backfire, and they would hunker down in fear that that was actually gunshots. But around the 1980s and in DSM-3, we found this word, this phrase, post-traumatic stress disorder. And it summed up everything that we saw in shell shock and war neurosis. And so today it has become a much prevalent thing. There's not so much of a stigma around it anymore. And there are different ways that our body may respond to traumatic events. And everyone responds differently. No two people's reactions are the same. While one person might develop PTSD, another may not after a traumatic event. And so let's look at this in a practical way. Let's say, for instance, you're in a vehicle accident as a passenger. The driver of the car may have some control over what was taking place. They may have been able to steer it so that they landed in a safe place. But whatever happened, they felt like they were somewhat in control. But maybe you were the passenger in the back seat, and maybe you were asleep, and you were suddenly abruptly woken to being in this accident and not having any control. So while the driver may not develop any type of post-traumatic stress, you may develop post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, there are different subtypes, but I want to start at the very beginning of post-traumatic stress. So the very first thing that you must have to have post-traumatic stress disorder is a traumatic life event. So that traumatic life event could be a car accident. It could be an assault. It could be growing up in a home where there was constant tension, where there was constant abuse. So there are many different ways that someone could have a traumatic life event. And we often think about these traumatic life events being a bad thing. But your body sees trauma in many different ways. Sometimes women who have children, the pain of childbirth is traumatic, in which they experience PTSD symptoms. Or it may be that a child is adopted, and they may develop PTSD symptoms. And so there are two subtypes of PTSD, which is contact and non-contact PTSD. For instance, if you were the one who was in the car accident, that was contact PTSD. Maybe you were involved in an assault where the assault took place on you. That would be contact PTSD because you were in the moment. You were living there, and it was physically happening to you or immediately surrounding you. And then we have non-contact PTSD, and I don't think a lot of time that gets the attention that it really needs to have, because non-contact PTSD is a traumatic life event that takes place by simply viewing the traumatic event. For instance, if you were viewing the live television when JFK was assassinated, that could develop into PTSD, and it would be labeled as non-contact PTSD. Now, it may also be that you watched the planes fly into the Twin Towers on 9/11. You could suffer from a non-contact form of PTSD. So our bodies react to tragedy and tragic events in many different ways. And so when we look at this, we cannot look at a situation and say, well, you shouldn't have PTSD because of that. That is simply telling someone that their feelings are invalid and what they are dealing with is invalid. Now, within PTSD, you can have anxiety or you can have panic. And so you may have heard someone say, oh, I had a panic attack or I had an anxiety attack. And many people ask, what's the difference? Well, an anxiety attack has some form of external trigger. Someone says something, or maybe again, the car backfires and you think you're in wartime and you have anxiety and it turns into an anxiety attack. Something physically takes place that triggers that. But with panic, there is no external triggers. Now, of course, there are biological triggers that cause this panic, but as far as there being any physical thing that happens, there is no trigger. For instance, you may wake up from sleep in panic for no apparent reason. And so you have to go through your coping mechanisms and coping skills to be able to come out of that panic or even use those same skills for anxiety. When we look at post-traumatic stress disorder, there are six types of PTSD. And I want to go through those with you today. Now, the first thing is that PTSD might begin with a normal stress response. However, not all normal stress responses develop into PTSD. Normal stress responses affect the nervous, the endocrine, the immune system, and the psychological or the physiological effect, of the stress response activates this fight or flight or freeze or feign response in the body. And so while you have that normal stress response, it may not always indicate PTSD. And so it's important to be able to manage your skills of emotion, to know whether or not these emotions are happening with triggers or that this kind of stress response is just immediately following some kind of stress now or tragedy. Now, that brings us to the second type of an acute stress disorder. Now, while this is similar to PTSD, acute means onset, that it was an immediate onset. For instance, acute care would be things like a sinus infection or a heart attack would be an acute thing, to where then there is chronic care, which is something like diabetes. It's something that's going to be prolonged or lifelong. So there are people that have this acute stress disorder, and it can happen or develop after a traumatic event, but its symptoms typically start between 3 days and 1 month or 1 month after the event. Now, a lot of things in psychology, I've heard people say, well, I had this diagnosis with this doctor, and I went to this doctor, and I got a brand new diagnosis. Well, the only thing sometimes, the only parameter sometimes that changes within the DSM or your diagnosis is the amount of time that has elapsed. For instance, you may have a depression, and you were depressed for a period of time. But once that depression lasts a prolonged period of time, let's say a year or 2 years, that diagnosis of depression may now be a major depressive disorder simply because of the time that has elapsed. And so with this acute stress disorder, this traumatic response happens within 3 days to a month, and that's how that is categorized. I can't talk today. And then that leads us to the third subtype is dissociative PTSD. And it was added to DSM-5. And a key feature of this form of PTSD is dissociative symptoms or depersonalization or derealization and this emotional detachment. And so when we look at dissociative, a lot of people think about dissociative and dissonance as being the same thing. However, cognitive dissonance is simply an internal ethical issue. For instance, I know that I shouldn't smoke because it's bad for me, but it feels really good, so I'm going to do it even though I feel guilty about doing it. So that's dissonance. Disassociativeness is where you are actually disassociating yourself from reality. And so some characteristics of this PTSD is that there are higher levels of co-occurrence or comorbidity with other mental health conditions. There is disassociative flashbacks with disassociative amnesia of where you are not in reality, but you are then placed back into the time and the place of everything that's going on. And this is kind of more significant within early life trauma and gives a sort of more severe PTSD symptoms. These people typically experience this overwhelming stress or trauma in childhood that then develops into dissociative identity disorder as a way to cope. So they disconnect from the things that are going on in real life and reality and cope by being something else. And so when we look at PTSD in that light, the PTSD symptoms there are so great and so vast that they fall into this dissociativeness of where they are disconnecting from reality. It's not dissonance. There isn't this internal conflict. There is this attachment or detachment from their identity. Then we come to uncomplicated PTSD. Now, that really sounds good, right? It's not complicated. But individuals with this form of PTSD have similar symptoms to the other forms of PTSD, such as re-experiencing the trauma, having flashbacks, or avoiding certain places or even people related to the trauma. But the main difference between this and the others is that it does not coexist with other mental health conditions. So there is no comorbidity. This people group are people who have not ever had any other type of mental health disorder. And through their screening, they don't seem to be depressed. They don't seem to be anxious. They don't seem to have any behavioral issues, that this is just their response to trauma. And uncomplicated PTSD is one of the most commonly diagnosed and is highly responsive to treatment. And so we see that the people who have a healthy mental health and have no suffering of mental health disorders fall into this uncomplicated PTSD. Now, that doesn't mean that it's not complicated. It doesn't mean that it's not hard. But it means that while there is no comorbidity, that you will then be able to get through it better with higher success rates. Now, let's think about comorbidity for a minute. What does that mean? Well, let's think about this. If you have pulmonary issues, you're probably going to have cardiac issues. Let's say you're not getting enough oxygen because of your lungs not working the way that they should. Well, if the blood isn't oxygenated enough, it's going to cause problems within your cardiovascular issues. And so because of this, the lung issues, now you have a heart issue, which is comorbidity. For instance, you may have diabetes. And because of the diabetes, you have neuropathy. And so you have neuropathy and diabetes, then you have a comorbidity. Uncomplicated PTSD just simply means that there is no comorbidity. And so when we look at somebody who has a trauma response and they don't have anxiety, then we are looking at uncomplicated PTSD. And then that brings us to the sixth subtype of PTSD. We have complex PTSD. Complex PTSD is a pretty new kind of subtype within the last couple of years. And complex PTSD is when this trauma is repeated multiple times, or even over a period of months or a period of years of this traumatic event is not just a one-time thing, but it happens over and over, such as a violent attack, child abuse. Someone who was raised in a very abusive home may have complex PTSD. And so chronic trauma associated with complex PTSD can occur in childhood or even adulthood and cause issues with relationships and behaviors. It can also present within your physical health, such as fatigue or chronic pain. You know, we talk a lot about a psychological effect of crossing over into our physical health. And I've always said that our physical health is our mental health, and our mental health is our physical health. But sometimes we have psychosomatic symptoms. What does that mean? Well, that simply means that you are depressed so much that you really get fatigued. You may get dehydrated. You may have those issues. That is a psychosomatic, that it's caused due to your psychological condition. Or it may be that your anxiety causes you to break out in hives, but you don't realize that you have anxiety. And so with proper medical conditioning and diagnosis, you can find that the hives are associated to anxiety, so it is a psychosomatic condition. So oftentimes they will treat the symptom but encourage you to see a therapist or a counselor or even a psychiatrist for medication. Let's talk about some treatment. Now, everyone responds to stress differently, but everyone also responds to treatment differently. You may say, well, I don't think that I need therapy. Well, you know, the whole saying that if a surgeon was a hammer, everyone would be a nail, that people who specialize in that think that everybody needs it. But I'm convinced that you need to have someone that you can open up to, that you can vent to. Maybe it's not a therapist, maybe it's a friend. But there are situations and issues where we need that confidant to be educated in what we are dealing with. So we go seek professional help. And I will tell you, there is absolutely no shame in getting mental health care. I'm very open about my mental health care. I suffer from PTSD due to an incident that I was involved in as a police officer. And I see a therapist every Thursday at 2:00. I've seen him for over the past 10 years. And that therapy has allowed me to grow and to get coping skills. And I could say, someone could say, hey, you know about this stuff. You know the coping skills. Well, you know, you are your own worst patient. It kind of goes along with the old adage that only a fool would represent himself in court. You need someone who can identify exactly what is going on to help you have the coping skills by which would help. So some treatment. The first thing is psychotherapy. And just at the word, people kind of shudder. Psychotherapy, what does that even mean? Well, psychotherapy is simply talk therapy. Being able to go in with a counselor, tell them everything that you are going through, and have that counselor reframe everything that you said for you to understand exactly what you're saying. Because a lot of times that trauma response of talking is that our bodies have made it disassociative, where that's not really reality. It may be that you have this thought process that everyone is out to get you. Well, what does that mean? Who's everyone? And so when we break that down to what it actually means, then we're able to help. Within that talk therapy, it also gives us a different perspective. Now, your perspective may not be wrong, but your perspective is only the way that you view things are happening. So psychotherapy at its very basic level is talk therapy, of which the counselor listens to what you're saying, reframes what you're saying, but then also gives you coping skills in order to be able to get better in that situation, to have a better understanding about what's going on within your mental health. Then we get into something that's CBT, or cognitive behavioral therapy. Now, this is something that does help people with certain PTSD issues. For instance, let's say that your post-traumatic stress disorder was caused by nearly drowning, or was caused by someone drowning that you viewed, a loved one, and now all of a sudden you have post-traumatic stress disorder related to water or swimming. And so cognitive behavioral therapy, what that does is that they give you or expose you to that trauma, in this case water, and increments until the point in time of where you feel that it's safe for you to be in the water. Now, there is, you can Google, there was a doctor in the early times of cognitive behavioral therapy who had a patient that was afraid of drowning. And very unorthodox, he locked this person in a box filled with water to simulate drowning. Unfortunately, what happened was he left them in there a little too long and they did drown. So you need to be able to trust whoever you're seeing. And I would encourage you, whoever you're seeing, to make sure that they specialize in whatever issue that you may be having, whatever thing that you may be suffering from. See if they have those qualifications. So as cognitive behavioral therapy is slow exposure up to the point of what your stress is about, or even your fear is about. There are people who are just afraid of certain things that limit their everyday life. And they want to be able to not have that fear anymore, so they go through cognitive behavioral therapy. Now, the third thing is something that is used a lot for PTSD, and it's EMDR, or eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. Well, you say, well, Dr. Brian, what does your eyes have anything to do with stress? Well, let me explain it in the most layman term that I can, and this was explained to me this way. So most of us are familiar with REM sleep, REM, which is rapid eye movement. If you've ever looked at someone who was asleep, not in a weird way, but you looked at someone who was asleep, you may notice that their eyelids show that their eyes are actually moving. And that is, when the eyes are moving back and forth, is REM sleep. Now, what is going on here? Well, mechanically, what is happening is that our eyes, if you will, now this is not exact science, this is just the analogy of what's happening, is that the eyes are processing everything that has happened that day. And they are processing it to put it in short-term memory or long-term memory, depending on whether or not you may need to recall that very quickly. For instance, if you're studying for a test, your brain's going to process that, most of that information probably in short-term memory so that you can recall quickly. Those things in long-term memory, we may have to really think about and dig deep to get. But when it comes to PTSD, what happens here is that that packet of information or that packet of trauma, if you will, gets stuck in that processing. And so it's not in short-term memory, it's not in long-term memory, it's stuck right there in front of you for your eyes to see all the time. Now that's the most simple explanation that I know. So what about EMDR? How does that work? Well, if you've ever had EMDR, the very most basic understanding of it is this. You're placed in a room, there's a strobe light or some kind of light that is running a light back and forth so that your eyes track it. And as your eyes track that, your therapist walks you through this traumatic event to almost force your body to package that trauma. We have seen excellent results with EMDR. There are people that have some form of PTSD that they actually are able to alleviate most of their symptoms within one treatment of EMDR. Now, again, I would encourage you that you find someone who has the specialty or the license to practice EMDR so that you go through it appropriately and properly. Because therapy in and of itself is traumatic, and you don't want to add a trauma on top of another trauma. Which brings us to another type of treatment, hypnotherapy. Now, we have all seen the entertainers that hypnotize people, and they do all this crazy stuff by suggestion. Here's the thing about hypnotherapy, and it really isn't just about hypnotherapy, it's about all therapy. If you don't want it to work, it's not going to work. You must be open to the suggestion of whatever is being done, whether it is EMDR that, hey, you think this could work, or whether it's cognitive behavioral therapy, you think it could work, or even psychotherapy, I don't think it can work. If you don't think it can work, it's probably not going to work because you have to do the work in order for it to do what it's designed to do. So within hypnotherapy, they put you in a state of unconsciousness. Now, that doesn't mean that you're literally unconscious or not breathing or not have brain activity, but they place you in this level of unconscious, which could also be defined as subconscious. So your body has taken over all of the voluntary actions for you to survive. And then they give suggestions where they talk about your trauma, and then they suggest to your brain to do other things. Now, a lot of times hypnotherapy is used for things like weight loss or to stop smoking, but there are some hypnotherapists that specialize in treatment for PTSD. Now, the other thing that I want to talk about today on the show is DBT, or dialectical behavioral therapy. And this is a form of talk therapy that have 6 basic principles or skills that you learn. People with personality disorders, people with interpersonal conflicts, like cognitive dissonance, are people who will benefit from DBT. And so on the very outside of it, we look at what psychotherapy, talk therapy, which then brings in certain skills to help you to understand that these things are not real, that this isn't reality. And so it teaches you the skills to be able to disassociate into reality, not disassociate from reality. So those are just some general types of therapies that may be used for PTSD. Now, PTSD, there's a stigma surrounding it, And within the Christian faith, there are a lot of people who would be of the opinion that your PTSD is just a lack of faith. As a pastor, I can tell you unequivocally that is not true. Now, your spiritual health does affect your mental health, and your mental health can affect your spiritual health. But most of the time with PTSD, it is a biological disorder that has to be treated. It's something that has to take place within the psychotherapy realm or the psychology or psychiatry realm for them to be there to be treatment in those areas. So PTSD is not due to a lack of faith. Do you need to pray? Do you need to study your Bible? Do you need to look at these scriptures that tell us that we should not worry, that we shouldn't be anxious? Absolutely. That's part of your spiritual health. Your spiritual health impacts your mental health. But most of the time in PTSD, it has gotten to a point of where you have to process the actual trauma. You have to talk it out, if you will, or you may need medication to help. A lot of people ask the question, how do I know if I need medication or if I just need therapy? Well, there is no definite acid test to answer that question. However, the APA, the American Psychological Association, has found that the best outcome of treatment for any mental health condition is the use of medication and therapy, whatever therapy that may be. And so the way I explain it is that sometimes we have to use medication to get you to the point of where we can to digest the trauma or the depression, the anxiety, whatever the case may be. However, there are some situations where there may be personality disorders, bipolar, for instance, that isn't something that's going to be cured. And so when we look at those things, there definitely has to be medication involved in those things. Now, PTSD has a high occurrence of suicide. So I want to remind you today that if you are having suicidal thoughts or homicidal thoughts, that you can call or dial 988 anywhere in America. You can dial it, talk to someone. You can text 988 and talk to someone 24 hours a day. And I would tell you that suicidal ideation is something that should not be ignored. If you are even having the thought process of not necessarily that you want to kill yourself, but you're having this thought process of what would the world look like if I was no longer here? That is a beginning of suicidal ideology, and you need to talk with someone about that. Of course, all the information that I've given you on today's show is for educational and entertainment purposes only. So do not use any of this information to diagnose yourself. Talk to your primary healthcare physician. Talk to a therapist. Talk to a friend and get the help that you may need. Mental health conditions are very serious, and they must be treated with the highest regard. Again, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening to this podcast and listening about PTSD. As June is National PTSD Awareness Month. And we're so thankful that you have stayed with us today as we have discussed PTSD. Of course, I'm Doc Brian. You can find all of my information at thedocbrian.com. We are recording today in LifeWord Studios, Conway, Arkansas, broadcasting in over 127 countries and 161 languages to a potential listening audience of 2 billion people. Thank you again for listening today. We hope that you have a great rest of your day and week. We'll talk to you soon. Goodbye.